Hello, and welcome to another podcast in the Naxos Sounds Interesting series, an engaging potpourri of musical topics. I'm Richard Kennedy, and today's podcast takes us from Mandalay to Tinseltown on an excursion with Rudyard Kipling. The UK's annual televised Royal Christmas Address, broadcast on Christmas Day, is currently delivered by Queen Elizabeth II, who was just a six-year-old when the first such royal broadcast was made by her grandfather, King George V, in 1932. He opened this enduring tradition with a radio broadcast that began with the following words, reaching some 20 million people across the British Empire. "I speak now from my home and from my heart to you all, to men and women so cut off by the snows, the desert, or the sea, that only voices out of the air can reach them." Queen Elizabeth exercises control over the speech she delivers, generating the themes while leaving the textual details to others. Things were different at that first broadcast in 1932, when the address was written for the King by Rudyard Kipling, the celebrated journalist, editor, poet, and novelist. Rudyard Kipling, 1865 to 1936, was born in Bombay, India, to British parents. He became a well-travelled man, early education in England, back to India in his late teens, on to Vermont in the US with his wife, back to England, then a stint in South Africa, and a final return to Sussex, England, where he remained until his death. Kipling's literary works went on to attract the attention of both composers and filmmakers. This week's podcast dips into a few of the musical settings of his texts, and the spirit of the time is perhaps best captured in a setting of his poem Mandalay. The city of Mandalay was at one time the capital of Burma, present-day Myanmar, and Kipling's poem embodies the nostalgia felt by a member of the British military on departing the exotic East for a more drizzly existence back in Blighty. Anyone who has made and sustained the reverse route to Southeast Asia surely won't be able to resist joining in heartily with the sentiment of Oley Speak's On the Road to Mandalay, which the American composer based on Kipling's poem. If you know this rousing song, I hope you'll join in lustily with this recording of it performed by baritone Leonard Warren, especially if you're cradling a cooling Singapore sling.
Ship me somewheres east of Suez, where the best is like the worst, where there aren't no Ten Commandments and a man can raise a thirst. For the temple bells are calling, and it's there that I would be, by the Olmulmain Pagoda, looking lazy at the sea. Chunking from Brandon to Mandalay. On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play, and the dawn comes up like thunder.
Charles Ives set a number of Kipling's poems to music, including The Love Song of Hardyal, which found its way into T.S. Eliot's A Choice of Kipling's Verse, compiled in 1941. Eliot was later to admit, "Traces of Kipling appear in my own mature verse, where no diligent scholarly sleuth has yet observed them, but which I am myself prepared to disclose. I once wrote a poem called The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock. I am convinced that it would never have been called Love Song, but for a title of Kipling's that stuck obstinately in my head, The Love Song of Hardyell. Here's Ives' setting of Kipling's poem, as heard on the Naxos American Classics album, Charles Ives' Songs, Volume 3. Kipling wrote two editions of The Jungle Book, 1894 and 1895. The second Jungle Book has a chapter entitled The White Seal, which is prefaced by the poem Seal Lullaby. This was set to music, in translation, by the French composer Maurice Delage, 1879 to 1961, as part of his Trois Chants de la Jungle, entitled Berceuse Phoque. Before we listen to the piece, as conducted by André Clouton, with soprano Marta Angelici, here's Kipling's original text as a guide. Oh, hush thee, my baby, the night is behind us, and black are the waters that sparkled so green. The moon, o'er the combers, looks downward to find us, at rest in the hollows that rustle between. Where billow meets billow, then soft be thy pillow. Ah, weary wee flipperling, curl at thy ease. The storm shall not wake thee, nor shark overtake thee, asleep in the arms of the slow swinging seas.
Thank you.
Another French composer who was attracted to Kipling's Jungle Book was Charles Koechlin, 1867 to 1950. Koechlin is a puzzle in the history of music and has never been able to win the position he deserves. His curiosity was always considerable, a feature of a Faustian personality that also took pleasure in contemplation, poetry, and the beauty of nature. A passionate enthusiast for such diverse things as medieval music, Johann Sebastian Bach, stereoscopic photography, socialism, and Kipling's Jungle Book. Koechlin's symphonic poems possess exceptional charm, and among them, the height of his achievement was Le Livre de la Jungle, The Jungle Book, based on Rudyard Kipling. The whole work is a vast symphonic poem in four parts. That the work occupied Koechlin for so long, from 1899 until 1950, shows the importance that he attached to it. This continuing creative activity fits very well one of the meanings of the book itself, that of an education, the symbolic journey of man. If the quality of symbolic writing rests in the possibility of it being read on different levels, there is no doubt that everyone will understand Koechlin's composition. Here is the jungle, where everything of beauty can be found, rhythms, melodies, colors, harmonic, and orchestral designs. Let's listen now to the opening of the first of the four parts, La Loi de la Jungle, The Law of the Jungle, as performed by the Rhineland-Pfalz State Philharmonic Orchestra. It is a fundamental mystery, a prelude to life and society, not the law of the jungle as it is generally understood today. The mystery is outlined by the wind, particularly the brass, and the symphonic ensemble develops from a repeated phrase in an oriental mode. The law is strong. Let him who does not respect it beware.
Thank you.
I expect many people may have first encountered Rudyard Kipling at a showing of the 1942 action-adventure film by the Korda brothers, The Jungle Book, in Lawrence Stalling's screenplay adaptation of Kipling's original story. The composer of the soundtrack for that film was Miklós Rózsa. He subsequently made a suite from the score, the opening of which introduces us to several of the creature characters we're all familiar with.
My name is Mowgli. It means the little frog. This was the name the wolf pack gave me, for I was brought up by the wolves in the jungle until I was grown up. From the animals, I learned the laws of the jungle. I spoke their speech and learned their ways, because I lived with them as a wolf cub in the dark, silent places of the forest, where the silence is so deep that the ear can hear it. Hear the thunder of the elephants, the tribe of Hathi. The hunting call of the wolves. Chuckle of Baloo the bear. The roar of Juggalo, the mugger, the barrel-bodied crocodile. Silent as a shadow is the Black Panther, Bagheera. With a voice as soft as wild honey.
25 years later, Kipling's original was again adapted, this time by Walt Disney for his animated comedy, The Jungle Book. Disney referred to Kipling's original novel and the Korda's film as nice, mysterious, heavy stuff, something he clearly didn't intend to replicate. The 1967 soundtrack was particularly well received. It included five songs by the celebrated Sherman Brothers, but we'll end today with the one which I'm sure everyone will instinctively join in with. Written by Terry Gilkison, here's an arrangement of Baloo the Bear's Bear Necessities, performed by the Gävle Symphony Orchestra. Thank you for tuning in to this Naxos Sounds Interesting podcast. For the text version, visit blog.naxos.com, where you'll also find an alternative audio series devoted exclusively to new releases from Naxos.